Welcome to Galcom's Mission Compass podcast. To learn more about Galcom and our guests today, visit galcom.org.
Just being in one of these churches, part of their fellowship, helping with church family visits is a huge blessing to these churches.
Hello, friend. We're glad you're here today to join us on Galcom's Mission Compass, your guide to the Great Commission. I'm Ron Harris. What does it take to be a missionary today? Well, it may take someone just like you, with the unique skills and abilities God gave you, to do your part in the Great Commission. And here's your host, Galcom's Tim Whitehead, to tell you more.
Well, thank you, Ron. And hey, before I say anything else, I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity last week to share some prayer requests. Specifically, I asked for our listeners, our friends listening, to pray for us about some R&D issues we were having, solving some issues with shortwave radio, and then some issues we're having getting into some closed countries. Well, hey, God has already answered the first prayer. I have in my hot little hand here one of our first prototypes of a shortwave radio receiver, solar-powered audio Bible and shortwave and FM. Our R&D team has been working through all of the issues. And just the other day, our R&D engineer, Pierre Moutrou, came in and said, Tim, last night I was playing with this and we're receiving, now we're in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. So if you want to look us up on a map, he says, I was receiving shortwave signals from Europe. Clear, clean, good reception. So praise God and big thanks to Pierre-Yves and to Jesper Neuer, our technician who's in charge of this project, who's been fighting with the layout of our circuit board. It's all technical stuff here we're doing at Galcom. To get the radios, which we have a tool that can be used for our missionary partners around the world. First of all, Alex Muir, who was just on the program a week or so ago, just back from Bolivia, handing out shortwave radios to Quechua in remote areas, where they don't have electricity, they don't have running water, there's not a local station there. It's Bolivia, where the Quechua live, it's mountains and valleys, FM radio is not working, they don't have cell phones. Shortwave radio from our partners at Mosa Chasqui in Cochabamba, Bolivia. All these partnerships, it's lovely. Alex is with Pioneers, his son, Greg, who's a full-time missionary there in Bolivia. It is wonderful to see everyone working together, doing their part. Our part is the tech side, the hardware side on those radio receivers. SIM and Mosa Chasqui broadcasting from their station, Pioneers handing out radios, doing short-term mission trips. It is great. It's we are so happy. So somebody call Alex Muir, let him know we got a shortwave radio ready for him for his first team that's going to be going March, April of 2024. We're so thrilled to be able to help them out. And of course, we got some missionaries down in Venezuela. It's not safe to go into Venezuela. Not a lot of missionaries working there. But we can broadcast the gospel in from a neighboring country and get the gospel to them there. We got some Ethnos missionaries we're partnering with. So praise God and thank you so much for your prayers. Prayer works. That's the first rule of missions, I think. Prayer works. Maybe not the first rule. But anyways, thank you for praying. But continue to pray with our team. We're still trying to work out how do we get over to South Sudan? How do we get back into Haiti? Areas where the Canadian government has said you can't travel there as a Canadian citizen. So we're just working through some things. Continue to please pray for us for wisdom. So what does it take to be a missionary today? Ron, you asked that question today. Friend, it takes someone just like you. I mentioned all the different partnerships it takes for us to do our ministry. Are you a tech person? Hey, give us a call. Maybe there's a spot for you with us here. Maybe you can travel. Maybe you have some language abilities. Hey, call SIM, call Pioneers. Maybe you're fit for that. There's all different ways to serve. And so every week here on the Mission Compass, we're looking for a different way. So today, Greg Slingerland, director of Come Over and Help, joins us to talk about their work over in Eastern Europe. If you think about the book of Acts, the Macedonian call, come over and help us. That's where they get their name. That's where it's coming from. And they're working in that area where Paul would have went there, Macedonia, over in Eastern Europe. So stay tuned. You want to find out how you maybe perhaps can fit with their ministry. But before anything else, Bonnie Sale is going to share from God's Word. And Faye Watford, our own communications team director, is going to share about an unreached people group. Why? Because we're praying for people that have never heard about Jesus. Why? Because prayer works. Didn't I just say that earlier? Prayer works. You prayed for us. God has answered our prayer. We want to be praying for people groups that have never heard about Jesus. So stay tuned for Faye and then, of course, Greg. But before we do anything else, as she does every week, Bonnie Sale is going to share from God's Word, get us reset. Refocused on God's Word, because, hey, you can't be an effective missionary. You can't be telling your story. You can't be a witness unless you've got the Holy Spirit working inside of you. So, Bonnie, over to you.
Were you one of those kids who wanted to take everything apart? I'm Bonnie Sala with Reset. Dustin had been obsessed with understanding how things work since he was a kid. By 14, he was taking apart computers and putting them back together for fun. The struggle of rebuilding showed him how everything connects. Today, an entire generation is taking apart the faith they were raised with, reevaluating or deconstructing their faith. Christian rapper Lecrae shared, "Deconstruction is not a bad thing if it leads to reconstruction. Sometimes you have to demolish a building that is mold-infested and then build something else on that foundation. We're not getting rid of the foundation. The foundation is Christ Jesus, but we're building on that foundation and tearing down some things that were unnecessary." If you're in this process of asking questions and reassessing your faith, you may feel isolated or even guilty. But this is the perfect opportunity to ask God to speak to you through Scripture and to dive into healthy conversations with other believers. Those who've been hurt might need to have their feelings validated. Those with questions need a space to ask them. As you examine your belief, you may discard traditions that aren't found in Scripture or learn a more authentic way of relating to God and others. Scripture encourages your search, saying, "Keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you." Re-examining faith takes persistence and tenacity, but God promises this: "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." I'm Bonnie Sala with Reset. To read, share, or hear this again, or to find more resources like this, visit guidelines.org.
Part of our mandate here at GALCOM, as well as doing the Mission Compass program and getting you encouraged and getting involved in the Great Commission, is reaching out to the most unreached people groups. We call them frontier missions, people that have never heard of Jesus Christ before. And so joining us every couple of weeks here, our communications team lead, Faye Watford, has been sharing from the joshuaproject.net website, where you can yourself, you can go and go on the website and learn about unreached people groups, people that need to hear about Jesus, because we pray for them here at GALCOM. Every morning we pray for an unreached people group. We want to keep this front of mind. This is our motivation. Get these people the good news about Jesus. So Faye, you've got a profile of another people group that we can all be praying for here today.
Yes, and this is a frontier people group, Tim, which means that there's practically no Christian witness among them. We're going to talk about the Bosniaks. They're an ethnic group living in the southeastern part of Europe, mainly in Bosnia and Herzegovina. There is about 1.5 million of them, and they're Islamic.
Okay, now, I'm pretty sure back in the 90s, my university days, there was the wars here. And these are the people, I think, that were the victims of the ethnic cleansing there.
That's right. They are still recovering from the aftermath of the Yugoslav wars. They took place in the 1990s, like you said, and it was one of Europe's deadliest armed conflicts. It included terrible wartime crimes, particularly the Bosnian genocide. And this was inspired by the ethnic cleansing of the Muslim Bosniaks by the Serbian Orthodox armies. The results of these conflicts was that Yugoslavia actually broke up into six different entities: Slovenia, Croatia, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Montenegro, Serbia, and North Macedonia.
Okay, so we've got a people group decimated by war, by genocide, by Christians.
Yes.
In name. Now, you know, I think if we were a true Christian, we're commanded to love. If we're a true Christian, we obey God. But obviously there's a cultural thing here. These Orthodox Christians from Serbia, boy, this is touchy ground here that we're stepping on too. But what has been the effect then? What has happened to them now? You know, fast forward 30 years. What is their culture like? What's life like for the Bosniaks?
Right. So you may have seen a movie or something about this, because this tragedy has been vividly portrayed by the world throughout media. The destruction of towns and villages, the expulsion of their inhabitants, systematic looting and raping of women, it's all left very deep scars and an abiding hatred between communities that once upon a time lived together and even intermarried. The sad part is, though, the Bosniaks, because they are part of Europe, they're influenced not only by the Oriental and also the Western culture, they're really considered to be some of the most advanced Islamic peoples in the world. The nation, they take pride in their melancholic folk songs called Sevdalinka. They make these precious medieval filigree manufactured by the old Sarajevo craftsmen, and the wide array of traditional wisdoms that are carried down to newer generations by word of mouth. And these wisdoms have even been written down in numerous books over recent years.
So there is a rich culture here, and they're holding strong to it for their identity.
That's right.
So,
yeah.
So if you go to this area and you say you're a Christian, well, you're the enemy. We're the bad guys in this, quite admittedly. So how does then a Christian go into this territory where we've done the harm? They're holding tight to what's left of their identity. They've been decimated. How do we do this? How do we bridge this gap? Because it's not about the religion and the culture of Christianity, which is often bad. It's about the good news of Jesus. How do we get the good news of Jesus to them?
For many Bosniaks, Islamic identity has more to do with cultural roots than with religious beliefs.
Okay, so we're talking about the Christian side too. It's this cultural thing, not a true belief in Jesus.
Exactly. It's more your religion tied up with culture than a real heart faith. Mm-hmm. Even among the most religious Bosniaks, there's a disdain for religious leaders who try to exercise any influence over their day-to-day life. Bosniaks are no different from other Muslims in that they view Islam from the foundation of their culture. Mm-hmm. They're actually one of Europe's least evangelized peoples. Although there's some mission agencies currently working among the Bosnians, very few have accepted Christ. So prayer is the key to reaching them with the gospel.
And we know of a wonderful ministry out of Albania that has set up radio stations, Kosovo and other places, to share the good news of Jesus. They have to be very careful, but there are some believers. And so they are able to speak from their culture, as you mentioned, this very cultural identity, very important, about Jesus, getting outside of religiosity, getting outside of culture, talking about Jesus only. Let's pray for the impact of this ministry now and for these other works. Heavenly Father, we want to repent as Christians. Often we've done things wrong, and there's a terrible atrocity here in former Yugoslavia. And so, Lord, please forgive us. And we just pray, though, now we would be able to be agents of healing and hope and help. I just pray that ministries that would go in would share the good news of Jesus without cultural trappings, without prejudice, showing respect and love to the Bosniaks. Lord, we pray for media ministries that are broadcasting this area where perhaps it's not safe for a Christian to go, that they would have wisdom and care and gentleness as they share the gospel message. Lord, we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. For more on these people and many others, check out joshuaproject.net. There you can sign up to receive an email every day on an unreached people group. And Joshua Project also has an app that you can download to your phone.
Thank you so much, Faye.
Thank you.
Stories can move us emotionally. They bring us into a world of joy and sadness. Stories help us ask how we would react if we were there. Galcom International presents Stories of the Great Commission.
The Trash Mountain, the family, they are from somewhere. They live around the Trash Mountain. They get up at night. They use a flashlight on their head. And at night, hundreds of flashlights on the Trash Mountain because they pick up the garbage at night. It's more cooler and more easier for them. So it's very sad to hear that, but we are blessed to be with them and to share them the love of God and give them something that we can give. So it's a blessing for them.
Discover the greatest challenge ever given to man, the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. Learn more at galcom.org, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Galcom International. Make waves.
You may be listening to us on your computer, but you can also find us on your smartphone using Spotify, iTunes, or other streaming platforms. Just go to galcom.org and choose your favorite. Make sure to subscribe, follow, and share our podcast.
Well, friend, a month or so ago, I was speaking at a seniors group, and after I was done, they were raving about their previous month's speaker. So I don't know what that says about how the kind of job I did, but I thought, I got to look this guy up that they're talking about. And so I went on the website, coah.org, come over and help, and was blown away by all they're doing. So I quick contacted their director, Greg Slingerland, and he joins us now here on the Mission Compass. Greg, thanks so much for joining us this week.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I'm excited.
So I don't know what you told the group there, the seniors group in Jordan Station there in Ontario, but they were all enthralled by what you're doing. So tell us, the rest of us here that haven't heard of Come Over and Help, what do you do?
Right. Well, maybe I'll explain first where the name comes from, because
yeah.
I usually get some quizzical looks whenever I say I work for an organization called Come Over and Help. So the name comes from the Macedonian call in Acts 16, where Paul's traveling, receives his vision, and then changes his travels and heads up north to Macedonia, which today is in Eastern Europe in the Balkan Peninsula. And the same call, in a way, was heard by a group of Dutchmen in the 1970s, 1974. They decided they were going to follow after the example of Brother Andrew and start smuggling Bibles into Hungary, what was then Czechoslovakia, Romania. And so they took their campers, so their little cars with their little camper trailers, and they hid Bibles in the floors and walls of these campers. And they took their families on holidays behind the Iron Curtain, and they handed out the Bibles. And there's remarkable stories of border guards' eyes being blinded to these Bibles coming in. So that's where it started. And then after, of course, the fall of the wall, missionaries could go in, churches could reopen, and the whole mission of Come Over and Help changed to more helping these local churches stand on their own. So in the 1990s, then, Come Over and Help North America kind of split away from the Dutch Come Over and Helps. Today, there still is a Dutch Come Over and Help, and there's a Canadian-American Come Over and Help. So that's kind of the story of Come Over and Help in a nutshell, and where the name comes from.
So no more camper vans, no more smuggling. But now, but of course, hey, there's a different tool for a different type of work. At Galcom, we're doing solar radios. And those only make sense in certain parts of the world. So we're all called to do different things to serve in the Great Commission. So now you're serving the local church in mostly Eastern Europe. Practically, what does that look like then? What are you doing?
Well, it's a lot of different things. Really, our vision is to see local churches thrive and churches that can stand on their own and then can also start planting other churches. And so to do this, we help in many different ways. It could be helping with church repairs. It could be helping with diaconal programs. Could be supplementing the pastor's salary or literature projects or all different sorts of ways that we can come alongside a local church and help them. So that's how we operate.
And the things you just mentioned were all very practical, attainable things. So like you're literally looking for people that will travel over to Eastern Europe and swing a hammer and use a saw for a bit.
Yeah. One of the big needs in these churches is leadership, actually.
Okay.
Many of the churches are small. They're new. So first generation Christians, often people who've never been to church growing up, you know, it's their first time in a church. And so what the churches lack is, you know, elders, you know, mature Christians, leaders. And so one thing that we always ask our supporters and donors for is if you are able, just being in one of these churches, part of their fellowship, helping with church family visits is a huge blessing to these churches. So you don't need to have any really special trade qualifications or special skills. Just being with the church, being part of the church fellowship, that's really a big help. So, you know, there's so many people that are traveling to Europe for holidays and sightseeing and so on. And the Central and Eastern European countries are not too far. Budapest is right even at the tail end of the riverboat cruises even. So It's easy to get there. These are safe countries now for the most part. Many of the, especially the Central European countries, there's very high levels of English, so you don't need to learn Hungarian or anything like that.
Oh, there goes my excuse now. Wait a minute. So what is the time commitment? This sounds like a real mentoring thing. Like I know my father and I, we've done some, we're both at the same seminary, and he says they don't teach church governance here. They don't teach how to run a charity because like in, you know, that's part of what we do. Yes, we're doing church, we're doing ministry, but all that eldership and leadership, it's not taught here. And so how can we expect a first generation church to know what to do in leading people and teaching? So how long of a mentorship period do you find to be effective?
Beggars can't be choosers. So it can be a short time. So we have one couple from Ontario that they go about twice a year for about 3 Sundays at a time. So, you know, just a little over 2 weeks at a time. And so they'll go and they'll visit the families in this little church. They'll help with the preaching and just some of the church counseling and so on. So that's kind of a shorter time period as far as being part of the church fellowship. Another couple has been there for a few years. Again, it all depends on the person's situation or how they can really help. But as far as that type of help goes, it can vary.
as I mentioned, I spent some time on your website trying to learn, you know, what was all the excitement about, the Come Over and Help was about. You have pastor education as well. And then you have a big thing on the front of your website, war in Ukraine. So first tell us, what do you do for pastor education? And then tell us, because it looks like a pretty urgent need there for the outreach to the Ukraine.
Right. So pastor education, that's a priority for us because really it's about the future of the church and getting pastors ready for church plants and to help with retiring pastors and so on. So we help with a seminary in Riga, Latvia, a seminary in Serbia. There's one in Russia that we help with. There's going to be one starting up, Lord willing, soon in Hungary and possibly Poland. And then also because of the political situation in Belarus, their seminary students who were going to school in Ukraine and in Latvia and even some in Russia, they can't leave the country anymore. So they're starting their own seminary in the capital city. And so instead of these men going to the UK or even going to the States for seminary training, they can now do it right there and much better situation.
Do you need teachers to go or do you need resources like books and or is it finances? Like what is it the need there?
Yeah, mostly finances, but also there's seminary professors that are needed. Christian counselors, certified counselors are needed for the counseling programs that these seminaries offer as well. That's an area of help that's needed. But yeah, mostly at this point, it's financial. These are established seminaries now. The one in Latvia, for example, they just celebrated their 25th anniversary.
Excellent.
So we helped them this year move into a new building. They had been renting for a long time. Now they're in their own building. So they're quite excited about what that's all going to bring to them.
And the urgent need. What's the need there in Ukraine right now before we finish up here?
Yeah. So in Ukraine, there was millions of Ukrainians that had left the country when the war started, especially. And so many of them went to the surrounding countries. Because one of the issues was a lot of the men were not allowed to leave because of the military draft. If you were from 16 to 60, you couldn't leave. So it's mostly a lot of women and children who left the country. And so a lot of the churches in these surrounding countries, they took in refugees, started daycares, providing furnishings and food and all sorts of things. So a lot of those churches still are looking for help as far as the financial costs that all entails. And then in Ukraine, the fighting is mostly moved to the eastern, southern part of the country at this point. There still is shelling that happens kind of all over the place. But the Ukrainians have, for the most part, pushed the Russians back quite a ways. So that's where a lot of the need is right now. So we have a partner, for example, that's bringing supplies to these areas. It's very dangerous bringing these supplies there, quite close to the Russian border. We're still looking for funding for Ukraine relief, especially as winter comes. And so that starts to look like a lot of warm clothes, winter boots, generators, firewood, you know, even things like running water. You know, all the utilities have been destroyed in the eastern part of the country. So everything's got to be brought in for the people that are still living there. So that's the situation there right now for us.
We just got about a minute left, but before we hit the record button here, you told me a little bit about how you got hooked into and how God called you into this real quick. Tell about how you got a heart for this area of the world.
Right. So while I was in university, I think things started to click. First, I took a job with Crossroads, 100 Huntley Street at the time in the missions department. You were there as well. Mm-hmm. And that was my first kind of exposure in a way to missions and some of the wonderful people that were involved with that. But then I also had a chance to travel to Czech Republic. And while I was there, we went to church at a church plant in Prague and really saw the needs and the desperate need for the gospel in this country and how there were so few churches, so few pastors, so few resources, you know, hardly anything translated into the Czech language. And it really impacted me how blessed we are here in North America with our beautiful churches and our literature and music and leadership and so on. And these countries in Central Eastern Europe really have nothing and struggle for everything.
There's the need. Friends, if you can help meet this need, come over and help, coah.org. Join Greg, his team. Visit their website. There's all sorts of opportunities, both here to get involved, to help send support, or to go yourself. I can't suggest highly enough that you go on a missions trip yourself and see the need and see how God can use you to fill it. That's what the Great Commission all is about. Greg, thank you so much for joining us here on the Mission Compass.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, friend, we're at the end of our program today. You've been listening to Galcom's Mission Compass, your guide to the Great Commission. There are many ways to partner with us. To find out more, visit our website at galcom.org. That's Galcom, spelled GALCOM.org. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube. I'm Ron Harris. Thanks for joining us today on Mission Compass, a radio ministry of Galcom International.
If you enjoyed this podcast, we upload a new episode every Monday. You can also find us on the radio or other streaming platforms. We have a list on our website. Make sure to subscribe, follow, and share our podcast. Please rate this episode and leave a review. We'd love to hear back from you. And we also want to know where you're listening from. So click Mission Compass on our website, tell us, and we'll send you Galcom's devotional, 30 Days of Faith.